I don't think the children and the young people will know the answer to the first question, but I think that some of the adults will. So the question is, who is this? Anybody? Anybody less than 30 know who this is? Anybody less than 40? Anyone less than 50 know who this is? It's a really difficult crowd this morning, this. Somebody over there. Is it somebody over there? Who's over there? Nigel. It's Harry Houdini. So this man, Harry Houdini, was born in Budapest on the 24th of March in 1874. And he was an entertainer. He was an escapologist. So he used to do some wild things because he claimed that his trick was to escape. This is Houdini, who's bound in a straitjacket. That's like a back to front coat with lots of straps on. And he's hoisted on a crane high above the street. And as thousands of people watch, literally, he got out of the straitjacket in a matter of seconds. This is something else he did, and we don't advise that you do this at home, but he was handcuffed, he was shackled, he was put in a box, and the box was bound with ropes. And then that box was lowered in the sea, and literally tens of thousands of people gathered in New York. And guess what? Houdini swam to the surface, and people were astounded. And then they brought the box up, and it was still bound with ropes. And as they opened it, there were the shackles still intact inside. People thought that this man could escape from anything. But you know, the truth is this, that he couldn't, because here lies Harry Houdini. Harry Houdini, who was born in 1874, died aged 52 years and is buried in his home city. Now, the reason I've shown you that is because I want to now move on to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus made many promises. People thought that just like Houdini, Jesus was worth watching. He was worth flocking to. But Jesus didn't perform tricks nor magic or illusions. But what Jesus did is he healed sick people. And what Jesus did is he raised dead people. And what Jesus did is he stilled storms, because he demonstrated his power not to impress people, but to reveal who he was. And he demonstrated his power because the Bible says that he was filled with compassion. And one of the extraordinary things that Jesus claimed time and again, unlike Houdini, is that he would be raised from the dead. Now, Jesus made this claim sometimes in a way that was, dare I say, implicit. So on one occasion, people came to him and said, give us a sign, prove to us who you were. And he said, I'm not going to give any sign apart from the sign of Jonah. And Jesus was referring to this guy in the Old Testament who had been swallowed by a big fish. And on the third day, the one who was really dead, who said, I cried to you from the depths of the grave, was spewed up on the beach. Probably all stinking and smelly, but the truth is that God still had a plan and a purpose for him. On another occasion, Jesus was stood by the temple, this beautiful temple that really people worshipped. And people viewed almost in place of God. And Jesus said something extraordinary. He said, if this temple is torn down, then I will rebuild it in 1, 2, 3 days. And they said, but Jesus, this has taken years and years to build. How can you rebuild it in 3 days? But Jesus was speaking, not about the temple, of course. He was speaking about himself. He was speaking about his body. And the truth is this, that we no longer go to a temple to worship, but we come to God through the Lord Jesus, the temple. We come to him in and through Jesus. Now, if I were to tell you this morning, I could run 100 metres in less than 9.5 seconds, what would you answer? Freddie.
You're not Usain Bolt.
I'm not, no, you're quite right. I'm not Usain Bolt. That doesn't mean I can't run 100 metres in less than 9.5 seconds. Anybody else, what would you answer? A miracle, Terry said. Anybody else? Oh no, I can't. Well, what if I were to claim this, that I could jump higher than anyone's ever jumped, about 2.5 metres tall? What would you say then? Oh no, you couldn't. Nobody's given me the answer that I want them to give. Show us then. What if I said I could jump longer than anyone's ever jumped, which is 1 metre longer than this room? I measured it because I'm that sad this week. You'd say, show us then. And Jesus made these claims. Jesus on one occasion said this, that the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of his enemies. He will be killed, but 3 days later he will rise from the dead. That's a staggering claim. And I think, just as Helen said, people could have said, no, that's ridiculous, that would be a miracle. Oh no, you can't. But someone said, well, prove it, show us then. I want to read this glorious text to you now from Matthew chapter 28. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And he's going ahead of you into Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I've told you. The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, they grasped his feet, and they worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and I will meet them there. There are 4 things that I just want to take from that passage this morning. And the first thing, whether you're young or whether you're old, I want to take from that passage is this, that because Jesus is raised, we can trust him. And trust isn't something that's passive. Trust is something that is very active. Trust isn't just an idea, but trust is revealed in reality. So the reason I wanted to show the video before is because I want to share with you that Jesus really did live, and Jesus really did die, and Jesus really was raised from the dead. And I like the video because it doesn't go into too much detail about the death of Jesus. And the reality is this, with a mixed congregation, if we were to go into too much detail, I've got the slides mixed up, but if we did go into too much detail, it would be 18 rated. You see, the people who killed Jesus were not rank amateurs. The people who killed Jesus were trained professionals. They knew what they were doing. And they were responsible for the death of Jesus. And yet the truth is they hadn't planned it. Because the death of Jesus was planned not by them, but by God in eternity past. And so Jesus had come to live, but Jesus had also come to die. Jesus himself said that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. God so loved the world that he sent Jesus firstly to live amongst us. He came to live as our example. And sometimes when we're at school or when we're at college or when we were at work or when we are in a family or a community situation, we don't know what to do. But what we have is the example of Jesus. I remember as a sales manager sitting back for an hour after work because I was faced with real problems. And I was trying to work out what Jesus would do because Jesus was a real carpenter who ran a real business. What would he do with difficult customers? What would he do with staff who weren't motivated? What would he do with suppliers who didn't keep the promises? What would he do when people didn't keep their payment terms? And I had to ask the question before God, how should I be Christ-like in this situation? And Jesus came to live amongst us, to live as your example and mine. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews this, that our Lord Jesus was tempted in every way that we are, and yet was without sin. And that's the problem, isn't it? That you and I are tempted, and yet the reality is that we are with sin. And it's that sin that separates us from God. It's that sin that keeps us from relationship. But really, Jesus lived, and really, Jesus came to die. He came to die to take the punishment of our sin. Do you remember the last thing that Jesus proclaimed on the cross? Jesus said in a loud voice, "It is finished." The payment is given for your sin. The terms have been met, so now you can be brought into a living, loving relationship with a holy God. And 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. And it just seems to me as if Christ had said, "It is finished." And God the Father proclaims this loud and hearty and eternal Amen as he raised his Son to life. We can trust Jesus because he kept his promise. We can trust Jesus because really he is risen. He's risen. And the Bible tells us that God has seated him high above all things. And therefore, when we watch the news and we struggle with what we see in the world, we can trust Jesus because he rules over all. And when we face with difficult things, with friendships and relationships in school, we can trust Jesus, not just with the big things, but with the small things, because he's one who keeps his promise. Second thing is this, that I really believe that we should be joyous about Jesus. Let's come back to the passage. We find that the women, they went to the tomb. And they went to the tomb maybe like people would go to a graveside now with flowers. They went to anoint him, to present not flowers but the perfumes that they were forbade to use on the night that he died. And when they arrived, there was an earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was an angel. And the angel said to them these amazing things. "He is not here. He is risen." But what we find is this, that after the earthquake, the soldiers were filled with fear. And it says in the Bible that they fell into a dead faint. It was like they were frozen on the spot because they were terrified. But the angel appeared to the women and the angel said, "But I don't want you to be afraid." And yet we find something really fascinating, that the women ran quickly from the tomb. And Matthew says that they were frightened, but they were also filled with great joy. And I think it's just worth recognizing the difference here. We've got the soldiers who are frightened, but they're terrified. They are in fear of their lives. But we find that the women there are frightened, but they're filled with joy. So what's the difference? The soldiers, it's as if they're stood in front of a double-decker bus. That's the kind of fear that they've felt. But the women, it's like they stood on a great mountain looking at the grandeur of all creation. They're filled with awe and wonder. They're thrilled and they can't run quick enough. They're filled with great joy. And I believe that this morning God wants us to be filled with joy because of Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean we should always be happy. That doesn't mean that everything always goes well in our life. It doesn't even mean that we can't be sorrowful and weep over tragedy. But to be filled with joy in God means that He gives to us peace. He gives to us an eternal hope. He gives to us a thrill. Which means that whatever happens now, everything will be all right then. The Bible tells us in Luke's Gospel that Jesus was filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. I just want you to think of this for a minute. The Lord Jesus, as He lived in a broken world, the Lord Jesus, as He was faced with suffering, as He was faced day after day after day with people coming with the most appalling diseases, as He saw His fellow people oppressed by the Romans, as He faced the cross, He was filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. And the book of Galatians says that a fruit and evidence of the Spirit in our life is love and joy. And this morning, God wants us, His people, to be filled with joy. The Psalms talk about joy time and time and time again. But the next person who speaks about joy, probably more than anyone else in the Bible, is the Apostle Paul. And we find that Paul was beaten for his faith. Paul was persecuted for his faith. Paul was shipwrecked, not once, not twice, not three times. And we find in Acts chapter 16, him and his mate Silas are banged up in a prison. And do you know what I would have been doing at midnight? I think I would have been either whinging or sleeping. But the Apostle Paul didn't whinge nor sleep. What we find that Paul and Silas were doing was singing hymns of praise and celebration. And again, the foundations of the prison started to shake. And I want to encourage you this morning, whatever you're going through, today is a day of joy. It's a day of praise. It's a day of celebration. Whatever you face tomorrow, it will be all right because Jesus lives. He's one who can be trusted. He's one about whom we should be joyous. So, what we need to do, I believe, is we need to tell others about Jesus. So we find that the angel gave the women a command, a commission. Said, you go and tell Jesus' brothers about what has happened. And then as they ran off, Jesus Himself grabbed hold of them and said, no, the angel's right. You go and tell my brothers that I'm going to meet them in Galilee. Can you imagine what would have happened if these women ran to see the disciples and the disciples said, whoa, 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 hang on. We're busy talking about something else. Whatever you've got to tell us, I think it can wait. How do you think that the women would have responded? I don't think they would have taken the blindest bit of notice, do you? I don't think that they were waiting for a pause in the conversation. I think they just blurted it out. We've seen him. He's risen. He can be trusted. We're filled with this overwhelming, inexpressible joy. We've seen him. We've touched him. There was an earthquake. There were angels. You know, the commission that the Lord Jesus gave those women is the same commission that he gives to you and to me. He calls us to be people who are bearers of good news. Just think of the contrast. For a moment, how we do it. We strategize and we think about it and we plan and we pray and we prepare and we put on programs. But actually, God wants us, almost like the women, just to be people who barge into conversations, who bust into rooms, who are thrilled with something so exciting that people want to know what it is that's on the inside that just demands to get onto the outside. And we can share about Jesus with family and with friends, in school, at college, in the workplace. He wants us to be people who gossip this good news of his resurrection. Last thing is this, that I really do believe that we should be those who have hope because of Jesus. I'm going to show you a photo. That's my dad. And that was taken, I don't know, Tracy, 10 years ago. About 25 years ago, my dad was having a major heart operation. And because he'd already had one, he believed in getting his money's worth on the NHS, my dad. Because he'd already had one, we were told that the second one just might not work. So I went to see him in hospital. And I knew that this might be the last time I ever saw my dad. And he was reading a book, and the book was on heaven. And so I said to me, Dad, I said, can I ask, Dad, are you worried? Are you concerned? He said, no, I'm not worried. I'm not concerned. He said, I think that the Lord is going to see me through this. I really believe that, Gareth. He said, but if not, I'm excited about where I'm going. Isn't that glorious? Isn't that just tremendous? That he, facing a really difficult situation, had this joy, had this eternal hope. And it was only a few years ago that my dad went to glory. And I had the opportunity of speaking at his funeral. And I had the opportunity of sharing this verse, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, because it's by his great mercy that we've been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and therefore we live in great expectation. And so because Jesus lived, my dad had this hope. And because Jesus lives, you too can share this hope, not just for the day after tomorrow, not just to get through a difficult situation, but you too can have this eternal hope. The Apostle Paul says of Jesus this, that he was the first fruits from amongst the dead. And what would happen just after Passover, the time when Jesus died, is a farmer would go into a field and he would take a sheaf of wheat and he would hold it up for all to see and he would proclaim, these are the first fruits. This is evidence that there is more to come. And when God raised Jesus from the dead, he becomes the first fruits, the evidence that if you and I place our faith and trust in him, then we too can be filled with joy. If we place our trust in him, then you and I can tell others. If we place our trust in him, then just like my dad, we can be those who live with this glorious hope. And I want to ask you, if you don't have that hope this morning, don't leave here without receiving Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Don't leave here without knowing the thrill of sins forgiven. Don't leave here without receiving His Spirit who will live within. Don't leave here without this joy and this eternal hope. Amen.